Amen. How many's ready for the word today? I want to get into the word. I want to get into the word today, this morning, and I'm going to have the scriptures on the screen today. We're looking at the book of Ruth, so if you want to open up, you can, your electronic devices or your books, go over to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, and we've been looking at this, and I think it's so appropriate on Mother's Day to highlight the mom in this story, but it's really about the whole family. So it's only four chapters in this short book, and we're taking one chapter per week, and we're talking about that, and there's basically one theme in each chapter that we're kind of focusing in on. And this family had some problems. This family went through some tragedy and through some loss. How many know a spirit-filled life doesn't mean a problem-free life? A spirit-free filled life doesn't mean you're going to have a problem-free life. In fact, it's the very opposite. But here's the good news. You've got greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus, amen. And Jesus said, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world, and your faith will overcome the world too. See, your faith, that's why it's so important to have that faith. And so we turn our attention to a family that the Bible does not hide, that lets us see a front row seat of how a family deals with grief and loss, and how they were able to turn it around, how they were able to come back from a setback and go through difficulties. And so I love the book. I love all of the Bible. I just love the Word of God, and it just brings so much life. So chapter one was all about famine and funerals. Famine and funerals. Famine was in the land, and Elimelech was the dad, him and his wife Naomi, and their two sons left the house of bread, the place where God was, and they went to Moab because of a famine was there. And as I said last week, he went to go get a job there, not even thinking about the spiritual environment he was bringing his kids in, and actually had a really rough time, and it was 10 years of suffering. And so all three of the men died in this family. So Elimelech died, he's the dad, he passed away, and then both his sons died in just a span of 10 years. And so we see that, but we also see the main theme last week was decisions. Everybody say decisions. And so we talked about the power of decisions, because we learned that our lives are not shaped by what happens to us, but by the decisions we make in response to them. We learned that last week. Things are going to happen, and you can allow circumstances to shape your life, but it's really the decisions you make in response to those problems that really will shape your life. And so we looked at that last week, because Naomi is left now. She's the widow. She's the mom, and she's got two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. So you know Ruth is a main character because the book is named after her. Both of them are Moabites. They're Moabitess, so they're from a pagan land. They didn't know about Jehovah God and Yahweh God, but Naomi was a godly mother. And listen, and this mom made one decision to turn her life back to God, and even in her grieving and even in her pain, to still go to God. And I'm just here to tell you, we talk a lot about men, and the men have a role according to the Bible to play. But I'm telling you something, women, moms are just as important. You also have a role to play. A man may be the head of the home, but the woman is the heart of the home. And anything that doesn't have a heart, you have no life. And scripture even says that a wise woman will build her home, but a foolish one will tear it down with her own hands. But the Bible says a wise woman will build her home. Doesn't say to man, the man may put the structure up, the man may be the one leading, but the woman is the one, the wife, the mom is the one that kind of just brings that heart in, that nurturing gift that's beautiful that God gave women, and only you have that, and it's beautiful. And this mom made a decision in the middle of her tragedy, and that was to turn to God. And she didn't even have much of a family. Everything she had was gone. She lost her husband. She lost both of her sons. But she still made a decision, and it was the turning point for her and for this whole story. And that was that I'm going to run to God in my pain. I love what Pastor Steve was saying during worship. Don't you appreciate Pastor Steve? He's not a song leader. He is a minister of music. How many know that? And I love that. And he ministers the music to us. And he was exhorting us, even moms here, that if you're in a season of pain or a season of isolation or whatever you're going through, make this one decision to turn to God with it. Bring God your pain. Bring God your problems. And that's what Naomi did. And when Naomi made that decision, It made everybody in her circle to also make a decision. Because when you and I make a decision to follow Jesus, it's going to force everybody in our circle to also make a decision. And so Orpah, her decision was to kiss her goodbye and go back to her gods. She was like, I'm not down with this Jesus thing. My life has fallen apart since I've been following God. I lost my husband. You lost your husband. You lost your husband. And listen, it was better in Moab. I'm going to go back to my God. So she kissed, and we talked about kissers and clingers. Come on, somebody. Judas was a kisser. When times got bad, he kissed Jesus goodbye. But Ruth is the one that shows us what to do when the times get tough. She clung to Naomi and said, I don't understand what's happening to me. I don't understand what's happening to you. But if you say there's a good God in heaven, I'm going to go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I'm going to die. And meaning I'm in it for the long haul, baby. And they made that decision together as these two widows decided to go back to God. And now we get to chapter 2, and I'm just going to read some verses and talk as we go for the next few minutes. And we see in chapter 2 the consequences of these decisions that they made in their pain, and it brought them, Naomi and Ruth, into the favor of God. I want to talk about the favor of God this morning for a few minutes. How many could use some favor on your life? Not flavor, Flavor Flav, amen. Flavor's good. That's my mind, that's where it goes, amen. Pray for your pastor, amen, always will be. Flavor's good, but I'm here to tell you, favor. Everybody say favor. When you have the favor of God on your life, others can see it. Doors open up for you that have never opened up and won't open for anybody else. You can be in a business, and I say this all the time, you could be a janitor in a Fortune 500 corporation. And if you got the favor of God on your life, you are more blessed than the CEOs in the top office. Because when you got favor, God does things for you that he doesn't do for anybody else. He opens doors that can't be opened. He makes things fall into place that make no sense. Think of it like this. You ever been asked for a favor? How many's ever heard those words? Will you do me a favor? If you own a truck, you're going to get asked. What is that? A favor is when we ask somebody to do something that they don't feel like doing, and sometimes we really don't deserve it, but we're just asking for you to do something for us. A favor, having favor from God is exactly that. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we're not perfect, even though we've made our mistakes, if we will turn our life over to God, he said, I'm gonna open doors that you won't think. I will give you wells you didn't dig. I will give you homes that you didn't build. All of those promises that we just kind of gloss over and we think that's just hyper faith. No, let me tell you something, those are real. It's called the favor of God. This church has the favor of God in it, and I'm happy. I love it. I love it. I love seeing the favor of God. If you can sum up the favor of God for a definition, I put it on the screen. It is this: favor. It's a divine approval and empowerment to fulfill God's purpose. It's God's approval and empowerment to fulfill God's purpose. So let me tell you this, when you become a Christian and you say yes to Jesus, you get the favor of God. In fact, the word favor is the same word, it's interchangeable 150 times in the New Testament with the word grace. Grace is undeserved mercy. That's what favor and grace go together. And when you say yes to Jesus, when we say yes, we get the favor of God. You're favored, you're already favored. We're gonna talk about that. But here's the good news. You can grow in that favor. You can let the favor of God grow in your life as you yield to him, as you live a life of consecration to him, as you live a life that's pleasing to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you do these things, every believer needs to learn how to do those things that are pleasing to him. For this is your sanctification. And if any man rejects this, let him know he does not reject man, but he rejects God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's not on your Bible. That's free today. Amen. But Paul is telling the Thessalonians, you can grow in this favor. Peter tells us, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Look at this scripture. I'll have this on the screen. Luke 2 tells us that Jesus increased. Everybody say increase. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in favor of God. You can increase in that favor of the Lord on your life. Some of you have just enough, but how many know we serve a God that's more than enough? Amen. And that's what God wants. Our cup runneth over. David talked about the cup runneth over. I want that kind of a blessing and favor on my life. Why wouldn't, I mean, everybody wants it. So let's look at Ruth. And this is not an exhaustive teaching on favor, because it'd be here for 3 days. And I do want to let us out. It's a beautiful day today and spend some time with our moms today, man. So I'm only going to have 2 closings today. If you don't know what that means, you'll find out. Amen. So we go by the clock, but we use football minutes in here. And seriously, Ruth is going to show us how to grow in this favor. So we're going to find out what favor is. We're going to find out what favor does. And we're going to walk out of here seeking this favor of the Lord. Are you ready? Yes. So Naomi and Ruth made that decision to go back to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. This is where chapter 2 is. So they go back and they find themselves right at harvest time. Chapter 2, verse 1 introduces us to a man that we're going to really dive deep into next week. His name is Boaz. And so, like I said, this is not a series for the ladies. Today we're going to talk, you know, moms are going to be blessed and everybody can receive from it. But next week, fellas, you need to be here, because we're going to learn some things from Boaz, how to also walk in that favor and how to get into relationships the right way and all these good things. It's going to be good stuff. Amen. But let's go. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth. That word wealth also means he was a warrior. He was a he served in the military at some point in his life, if you study Boaz, which we'll look at more next week. But he's a relative of Elimelech. He's the dad that left during the famine and passed away. So let's just stop right here and ask a very obvious question. If Elimelech was in the middle of a famine and he had a rich relative, why would he leave that rich relative and go to a foreign land? You see, Boaz represents Jesus. He's the kinsman redeemer. He represents Jesus Christ in the story of Ruth. How many know Jesus is in the Old Testament? All over the place. He's in every book. If I had time, I would walk you through it, but he's there. And in Ruth, Boaz is a representation of Jesus Christ. He's of Bethlehem, house of bread. He's of the tribe of Judah, the praise. And here a man, Elimelech, leaves all of that in the time of trouble, but comes around full circle, and his wife ends up coming back to Jesus. I don't know about you, but that was my life. When things got tough, I would run from Jesus. And it's almost like, how tough do things have to get before we get the memo and return to Jesus? I don't know. If we would have just reached out, if he would have just reached out to Boaz and said, hey, it's a famine time. Can we have a compound or something to get through the family and the famine and all get moved together? But no, he left. So that's an interesting fact. So, but Ruth said to Naomi, now they're in Bethlehem, and Ruth, the daughter-in-law, the widow, who says to Naomi, the other mom, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. She really don't even know where she's going. She says, I'm just going to go to wherever I go. So Ruth is taking advantage of a custom that existed in Israel in those days. The farmers would harvest their crops, but God commanded the farmers to leave the edges of wheat unharvested or whatever they're growing and leave it for the poor. Leave it for the strangers, leave it for them. And so they would do that. And Boaz, being a man of faith, obeyed that. And so it was harvest time, which they did not even realize it was harvest time when they were in the middle of their tragedy. Let me just tell you, you don't know what's right around the corner right now. They didn't realize they were coming into harvest time. When Ruth was making that decision, I will go where you go, I will, your people will be my people, she had no idea that they were walking into harvest land. To the season. Amen. And so verse 3 says that Ruth says, I'm going to go. And so Ruth says, then she left. She went and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now, let me just stop right here before we get into this. There are reapers and gleaners. I need you to know this. Reapers and gleaners. Gleaners were those that were poor and they would just pick up the leftovers. But a reaper was hired by the farmer to gather the wheat and whatever it was and bale it together, bundle it together. They were paid to do that job. They were hired. They were like a step up. But the gleaners were just poor folk just trying to survive. You need to know that before we go. And Ruth says, I'm just going to be a gleaner. So she goes. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And watch this. And she just so happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. I want you to write this down. Favor follows faith. Favor follows faith. You want to grow in the favor of God? You got to learn to grow and step out in faith. Everybody that steps out in faith in the scripture ends up getting the favor of God. She stepped out not knowing where she was going to go. But she said, I'm going to use my faith. And I'm not just going to say my life is over because I lost my husband. I'm going to step out in faith and believe that God's going to provide. Whenever you live for God by faith, I'm telling you, you are going to increase the favor of God in your life. Because Hebrews says it like this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if anybody comes to God, he must come to God in two ways in your mindset. Number one, know that he is God. And two, know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of, so you can be saved, but still not be rewarded. Because you can be saved and not seeking. Naomi could have said, no, Ruth, that's okay. We're just going to sit here and die. Remember, she's already bitter. She's already bitter and a little mad at God. We talked about that last week. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to step out in faith. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm going to step out in faith. And just believe that God's going to take care of this for me. I don't know how. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. But I'm just going to believe God that he's going to do it. That was a prayer I prayed when I became a Christian. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can live this Christian life. I didn't know if I can come out of the world that I was living in and live for you. But I mean, I'm tired. I had a chapter one, Ruth chapter one in my life, and I was done. I was tired. So much pain and sickness. I'm just going to try to live them for you. And I stepped out in faith. And it's amazing. God met me at the point of my faith and gave me the favor of the Lord. I know I got the favor on my life, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on him. Amen. So she stepped out in faith. It just so happened. Underline that in your Bible. How many times have you seen a just so happen? A just so happened the right person was there. And we saw this when we renovated the building. We were going to hire contractors, but we didn't have the money. And we said, we're going to rebuild it. We're going to redo this building. And it just so happened. We begin to have people stand up and say, well, I'm a metal worker like Kofi. I'm a carpenter like Bill Chisenhall and built the entire stage in a chapel. We had people stand up and it just so happened. People just begin to step up and say, hey, I can do that. God has called me to do that. And the miracle was in the house. When you step out in faith, I'm telling you, I've heard it all of my life. When I first saw this in my life, I remember, I was thinking about this. When did I first see this favor and this just so happened? I remember it took me all the way back to when we first moved from Melvindale to Taylor years ago. And my wife wanted to move, and I didn't want to move. So she compromised, and we moved. But I didn't want to go. I got to pray about it. She says, you pray, I pack. And so I'm fighting it. So the city came out to the house. You know how they do, and they find everything wrong with your house, and you got to fix it up. So he came out three times. I mean, I'm putting new everything on, and I'm like, this ain't, God don't want us to go, honey. I just had a bad attitude. The last thing I had to get was a flange, and I told this years ago, I don't know if you remember, but I had a railing that went down like we have on our steps, you know, everybody had, there's a metal flange that holds that railing in. Well, that was cracked, it needed to be replaced. So I went to Home Depot, and they didn't have it, but I got to talking to the guy in the aisle, and he was like, this is before Amazon, and he was like, well, there's a place in Dearborn that will probably have that. And I said, well, I live in Melvindale, I can find it. So long story short, I'm driving for hours, it felt like, and I couldn't find this thing. And I said, man, this God, you don't want us to move. It was probably 20 minutes. So I said, I'm going to pull in this. It looked like a junkyard on Schaefer. I pulled in there, and I'm going to go in there and ask this guy, because Melinda's going to say, did you even ask? We didn't have GPS. This is before GPS. And so I went in there, and the guy behind the counter, I tried to talk to him. He didn't understand English very good, so that was fun. And I'm telling him, I'm looking for this thing, and I'm doing all this. And I looked on the counter, and it just so happened. What he's using as a paperweight is the exact flange that I need for my porch. I heard my wife say, mm-hmm. I said, you ain't gonna believe this, sir, but I wanna buy that from you. He picks it up and he goes, my gift from me to you. I walked out, still ain't God's will. Went home, and I'm telling you, when I set it down, not only did it fit perfectly, this was scary. It was the exact mold with the design that the other side had. Just so happened. Why? Because when you step out on faith, and that's what I said, this woman's got some faith. My faith didn't begin to get aligned when you see it real quick. And I knew that God was in the house. Just so happened. I could go all day about just so happened. A more serious and recent events. I was just talking with Tito about this. And I said, I'm going to share it today. And I am. Her daughter, you all know, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, 12 years old. Rebecca was just a few years ago. And I remember the cancer was 1 in 1,000,000. Is that rare? And I remember it just hit the family. It was devastated. And just it just hit you. 1 in 1,000,000. Not 1 in 100. Not 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000,000. And we began to pray. God gave Deepa a vision of the Lord, how God was going to bring her out of it. I mean, it was spiritual. We were there. And we were talking about it. And it just so happened up at that hospital that a nurse knew a doctor who specialized in that kind of cancer just so happened to be in the area at that time. Got a hold of him. He ended up getting her on the right track. And she's here today, cancer-free. Wave at us, Rebecca, sitting back there, cancer-free. Cancer free. Come on, give God praise for that. If you need a just so happen, you need to happen to sow. I would say it like this. If you want to just so happen in your life, you have got to sow something. You got to step out in faith. Ruth said, hey, I'm not going to let it knock on my door. I'm going to get up and go. I'm going to get up and go and go and glean. Now, here's why I want to go a little deeper with this. That was tough for Ruth to do that. Listen, Ruth still had her grieving garments on. She had a widow garment on, letting everybody know that she's in grieving. But she did not let her grieving stop her from gleaning. Somebody need to get a hold of that today. She didn't let her unanswered prayer stop her from gleaning because she knew that favor is in the field. I feel like preaching today. She knew that favor was in the field. It's not in the home. It's getting out there. It's rolling up your sleeves and saying, I'm still going to trust you, God. I'm still going to live for you, God. I want to go. But she didn't feel like she was favored. So I want you to write this down. Favor is not a feeling. You may feel good, and I felt all kinds of emotions when I had that thing in my hand from the store. I felt dumb. I felt excited. But you're not going to feel, listen, you don't have to feel favored to be favored.
Yes, that's right.
Let me minister to you today. You don't have to feel it. You need to get this. This is good to know. You don't always got to feel favored to realize you are favored. You can be highly favored and highly afraid. You can be saved and still struggling. You can be loved and feel lonely, ask Gideon. You can be highly favored and highly discouraged and highly afraid, but you're still favored. Ask Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says she was highly favored. An angel came and said, you are highly favored of God. And everybody said, yeah, Mary was highly favored. Will you ever look closely at Mary's life and what she did, went through to bring the Savior Jesus into this world? She rode on the back of a donkey for 90 miles in her third trimester. Come on, moms. How many think that sounds like a good time? 90 miles in her third trimester. Had the baby in a barn. No family to celebrate. Just a bunch of cow dung. I'm just getting real with you. Jesus was in a manger with a trough that the animals ate. She had nobody there. Then she had to take her son and run for her life and flee to Egypt because Herod said he's going to kill her child. So for 2 years, she's at a foreign land. All the way, she was still favored and highly favored of God. I don't think she was celebrating on her way to Egypt. But let me tell you something. Every step of the way, she was fulfilling prophecy that she didn't even realize. You may be in a season that you don't even feel favored, but God is doing something for you and for your kids and for your grandkids that you can't even imagine. So why am I going through it? Listen, I don't know. Ruth didn't know either. It was just a snapshot. We know the story, but Ruth didn't know the story at her moment. She knew she was grieving, but she didn't allow her grief to stop her from gleaning. You know who else is in the Bible that was favored of God, who you might not think is favored of God, was Job. No one associates him with being favored. They're going to say, no, he lost everything. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his livestock. He lost all of his, everything he had, his business, everything. The devil took everything but his wife. That must have been, the devil was like, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. He met her and was like, you're staying. I got plans for you. I mean, and if you read the story, she was the one that said, Job, give up on God. Eddie, it's Mother's Day. I know. Somebody stop me. Here's the scripture I found about Job. Here's the story I found about Job. Job chapter 10, verse 12. Listen, you never probably heard this about Job. Job said, God, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Why? Because favor preserves your spirit. He didn't say he preserved everything that you had. He had boils and sitting on a pile of ashes, but his spirit was fine. Why? Because he was favored. You could be going through things in your life and everything on the outside of you is falling apart. It don't even make sense. You're losing everything, but you got this unexplainable peace that surpasses all understanding that the world can't give you and the world can't take it away. They don't understand why you haven't lost your ever-loving mind. They can't understand why you still lift up your hands. They can't understand why you still read the word. They can't understand why you still worship Jesus. It's because they don't know it, but you got the favor of God in your life. Come on, give him praise if you want some of that favor on your life. Give him that 10 second of praise today in this place for favor on your spirit. No matter what you go through, you can go through it with God. I had a motorcycle accident. Man, I could tell you so many stories. In 2009, I had a motorcycle accident. My motorcycle slid 52 feet. That thing was just, that's the size of a semi-trailer. It's 52 feet, going about 40 miles an hour. I had shorts on, and I was going to work that early morning. It just so happened, 2 days before, my neighbor gave me a helmet, and I got leather chaps, and I had my leather chaps on. The only thing that happened, I was mad, is that my three-quarter Adidas Top 10, brand new, it was Saturday morning, and I was going to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the bar rush was letting out, so that's what happened. This car pulled out in front of me. It was a horrible thing, but it just so happened I had the right gear on. I ended up cracking the helmet, which would have been my head. I hate wearing helmets, but just so happened my neighbor gave me one, and my wife said, if you're gonna ride it, you're gonna put a helmet on. So I said, okay. I got the helmet at home, to tell you. But let me tell you something. It sprained my ankle. I had a mild concussion, but I got up. I went home. I was fine. Went through a financial deficit. I mean, I could tell you, sit here and tell you so many stories, but here's the sum of it. My spirit during all of that time was preserved. I just knew that God was going to be okay. You could go through the fire like the Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And he could be, Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, hey, we put three men in that fire. We're going to get them. But what did he say? He said, I see a fourth man in that fire that looks like the Son of God. Listen, God may not take you out of the fire, but his favor will be with you in the fire. And with him, you can be in the fire. You can walk around. You can praise him. You can dance before him. You can be thankful when you're in the fire. If you got favor. Help me, Jesus. You can have that. It preserves your spirit. The favor will preserve your spirit. Hallelujah. Let's finish this story. Boaz, during this time, Ruth is gleaning in the field, working hard. The Bible says she worked from sunup to sundown, only took a small break in the shelter. And Boaz, she had no idea that Boaz was watching her. Wait till next week. But Boaz notices her hard work, and he says to his young men, leave her, leave that one alone. I mean, no favor will protect you. I wish I had 10 minutes. The favor will protect you. Boaz said, listen, here, her hard work attracted the favor of Boaz. Our hard work, and when we serve the Lord, that's why he says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not in due season. And so she had no idea, but Boaz said, I want to protect her, but he also gave her some water. That's the favor of the Lord. And so she responds in verse 10, if you got to put it on the screen, and this is what she says to Boaz, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me since I am a foreigner? She realizes she's a Moabite. Remember that we learned that last week. That wasn't too cool in the Jewish culture. But Boaz said to her, it has been fully reported to me. You didn't even know it, but people has told me. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you still went and got it, and how you left your father, your mother, the land of your birth, and you've come to a people who you don't even know. Watch Boaz bless her. May the Lord repay your work and a full reward. Somebody say full reward. A full reward be giving to you. I want you to write this down. Favor comes when we are faithful in unseen places. When you are faithful with God in unseen places. Ruth had no idea that Boaz was checking her out. Thank you. She had no idea. Listen, you're single up in here. This is a good place to be. I'll just tell you, Naomi told her, and I'm going to talk about it next week. Naomi said to her, Ruth, when she got back, Naomi said, who has blessed you? What is, because Boaz just begins to bless her. She says, it's Boaz. And Naomi said, stay in that field, honey. You better listen to them godly mothers that say, hey, you want to find a Boaz? What pond are you fishing in? Come on, single people. You ain't going to find them over there at the club. Listen, you could be worshiping, scoping, and hoping. I say it all the time. You need, amen, that's okay. And that's what's happening. Boaz is watching Ruth working in the field, and he was attracted to her hard work, but she was unseen. Let me tell you something, the favor of God will grow in your life when you pray when no one's watching. Yeah, that's right. Come on. When you live as a man of integrity when no one's watching. When you hit a home run or you strike out softball team and no one watches you and you throw the bat and what comes out of your mouth, I'm telling you, Boaz is watching. Come on, somebody. I want the favor of God in my life. Our softball teams did pretty good last night, by the way. Amen. But it's what we do in the unseen places that gets the favor of God. I think of Joseph. Let me say this, and then we'll start to close soon. Joseph is a man that had the favor of God in the Old Testament since he was a little boy. And here's another thing. All of his brothers were jealous of him. How many know when God begins to pour out his favor on you, not everybody's going to celebrate you? Not everybody, you're going to get a Saul after David. You're going to get people. They were jealous over Joseph's favor, over his coat. And they threw him into a pit. But I love, if you read the story, whose ideal was it to get him out of the pit? It was Judah. Why? Because praise will get you out of any kind of a pit that anybody can put you in. But the Bible says that Joseph was sold into slavery. He was thrown into the pit, then sold into slavery. He went all the way to Potiphar's, into Egypt. But he worked his way up. All the way to second in command. And you'll find this all through the story of Joseph in Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. That's his favor. But people don't see how that man lived, what he did when no one was watching. The Bible also says that Joseph was handsome in appearance and form. So he was good looking, ladies, but he also was built. He's been working out with Tomas. He's been getting in shape. So Joseph was good looking, and his body, he was looking good. Joseph was. Here it is. Potiphar's wife, you know she was hot. I'm just going to tell you. Potiphar is the richest man in the world. He ain't going to pick, you know what I'm saying? So you know, that's how I read my Bible. The Bible ain't boring. That's what I'm saying. Use that imagination. She got a hold of Joseph and said, I want to lay with you. Come, let's go to the bedroom. This is a woman. She's pretty. going at a man and grabbing him and saying, this is in your Bible, come to me. Joseph was single. Here's the context. Joseph ain't heard nothing from God in over 2 years. And the last thing God told him, and he was highly favored, got him thrown into a pit, got him sold into slavery, and got him put in prison. The last thing he had from God was a promise. He ain't heard from him in years. And now he has an opportunity to have intercourse with a very pretty woman and no one would know. But your Bible says when nobody was looking, as she began to get a hold of him. I'm talking about favor in the unseen places. She got a hold of his jacket and said, baby, come to bed with me. He looked at her dead in the eyes and said, you can have my coat, but not my calling. You ain't gonna get my favor because I'm gonna live for God. I'm gonna follow God. I'm gonna worship my God. And he ran from that opportunity to have a temporary pleasure for a moment. I'm talking about favor in unseen places. When you're driving your car and you're a business owner and you're making out that bill, or you're going to write it out like you're charging Jesus, or you're getting somebody else the other way. I'm talking about living with integrity. I'm talking about living with character, church. This attracts the favor of God on your life. Closing number two, worship team, get ready. Do a little stretching, it'd be a minute. Here we go. This is the cream of the crop right here, is verse 14. I want you to write this down first. I don't know how to word this last point, but I want you to write, I like to give you points so you can think about it throughout the week, so you can reread your notes. And I tell you this on Wednesday, if you take notes, you get a bigger mansion in heaven. You ain't gonna remember everything I say. I can't remember everything I say. So notes help you. This is an important message because I want everybody to walk out of here with favor. And I also want moms to know, I don't care what you're going through, mom. You can be like Naomi. You can be like Ruth. I'm telling you, just because you don't feel favored, you are still favored. Make the decision to bring everything to God and he's gonna continue to bless you. He sees you in the unseen places. Now, this is the purpose of why God gives us favor. Are you ready? Favor leads us closer to the Father. I want you to get this. There's a purpose why God gives us favor. It is not to just enjoy the pleasures that favor brings. There's a purpose for favor. It empowers us, and it is intended to draw us closer to the one who gave us the favor in the first place, and that's to God. And I get that from the story in verse 14. Now Boaz said at mealtime, come here, he's talking to Ruth, and eat. So she sat beside the reapers. Remember, she's a gleaner. Can I tell you that the favor of God will have you sitting at tables that you don't deserve? I wish I had 20 more minutes. God will give you open doors and cause you to sit at tables. You got no business. Can I tell you about my life? I'm at tables that's like, I gotta pinch myself. Well, what have you done in my life? What are you doing in my life? He said, it's not you, baby, it's my favor. And here's Ruth being a gleaner sitting with the reapers. Boaz got her sitting right next to him. He's got some plans. And he says to her, well, he passed the parched grain to her and she dipped it in some vinegar. Now that may not sound good to you, but when you've been gleaning all day in the hot sun, and in those days, that was probably the best gluten-free, fresh, whatever, the best meal you've ever eaten that you had. But she's eating like a king is the point at the table. And Ruth, and she begins to do it. Watch this. And she kept some back. Why? Because she's got it for Naomi. Look at Ruth. Even in a season of serving, she's thinking about her mother-in-law. That's why the book is named after her, because she was the one that kept the favor going. Can I tell you something? You can inherit some favor from your parents, but it is up to you to keep it going. And you may be the first woman or mother up in this place, and you're the only one in your family serving the Lord. You may even be a single mom or wherever your situation is. I thank you for being here today because you also can set the trajectory of your family. And that's what Ruth was doing. But I want you to see this. And Boaz commanded his young men. First he said, protect her. Now he's saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. That means let her hang out with the reapers. And do not rebuke her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Let me tell you what's happening here. He says to her, listen, I want you guys to drop these bundles. Reapers, I want you to bundle up that wheat, and I want you to, on purpose, drop that bundle right in front of you. And everybody else, I want you to leave Ruth alone. I know she's a gleaner, but she has found my favor. Somebody say favor. And you're going to have to walk right by it and be tempted to get it, but it ain't for you. And these are people that have abandoned you when you said yes to Jesus, and they mocked you for saying yes to Jesus. They're going to walk right past a blessing that God has dropped purposely just for you, and it ain't for them. I'm telling you, just hang on, because your bundle is coming. But here's the point. As she began to go, she looked and she would see a bundle. It wasn't a wagon full. You need to notice this. It was a bundle. And the Bible says, if you read it, she collected about an ephod worth. That's about 60 pounds of wheat. It's only good for about 2 days for two women to eat on. And here's the point. God did not give her a wagon load, just like he doesn't give us a wagon load. Favor is never going to be a wagon load, but it's going to be just a handful, a little at a time. Why? Because she would pick up a bundle. Well, thank you, Jesus. But she would look and see another one. She would go a little bit further, and she would pick up another bundle. She would walk a little further. She'd pick up another bundle. That's exactly what favor does. Why? So she can look back and say, wow, I've went a halfway across this field. Because favor is not meant for you to get something and stop. It's meant to bring you right along, because it wasn't about the wheat. It wasn't about the barley. It was about a kinsman redeemer that was going to bring Ruth from a gleaner to the bloodline of Jesus Christ. So you may be here today and you're praying for a bucket load. You're praying for a wagon load. If he gave you a wagon load, you might not be here next week. So he said, I got to have you walking. I know it's hard, but I got to give you a little bit of purposeful blessing, a little bit, because I got deeper things for you, brother. I got deeper things for you. That's why you feel a chill bump sometimes, and sometimes you don't. That's why you get a revelation sometimes, and sometimes you don't, because God's given you favor that you can handle for the season you are in. Woo! Can I tell you how powerful that is? Can I tell you how powerful that is for our church, building this church and growing this church, mom and dad starting this church? And I remember going through those days and having small people and not a lot of people, and God started to bring families right at the right time. I was just going through my mind, one family at a time. You know what that was? That was just a little bundle. Say, keep going. Keep going. Why? We had no idea that just 1.4 miles around the corner, he had this waiting for us in 2020. We had no idea. Can I tell you, God, you have no idea what God has around the corner from you, but you got to stay gleaning in the field. Tell somebody, don't quit gleaning in the field. And that's what the favor of God is for. He's going to give you a breakthrough. He's going to give you a little bit at a time so you can pick that up and keep worshiping and keep going unto God. Come on, let's stand in this place today. Let's stand in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to dismiss you and let you go. I know it's Mom's Day. We want to bless our moms today. But man, I want to drop that word in you today. How many received that word today? How many got something out of that word today? Thank you, Jesus, for your favor. If you're in this place, would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? I always want to give an opportunity for someone to come to know Christ. If you're in this place and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to make that very first decision in chapter 1, and that is to turn to Jesus. Let me tell you something, it's the best decision you've ever made in your life. I've had so many of my friends and family, and you have too, that passed on. We've been through things, man. But turning to Jesus, it took faith, first of all. And I began to live for him in unseen places. I began to live for him just because it was right. And I'm telling you, the favor of God has just begun to increase on my life, and he wants the same thing for you. But you got to have that step of faith and say, I'm going to reach out like Ruth did and said, Naomi, I'm going to go and find the favor of God. That takes faith. So if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might have a religious background, that's great, but you've never really surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And you want to do that today. I would love to pray for you. This would be a great day. I know many moms, their prayer is that all their kids and grandkids would be in church today. And I know some of you are here because of that or watching online. And I say, God bless you. You know what would be even greater? What your Heavenly Father wants? He wants you to give him your heart today. And I'm telling you, man, don't be afraid. It's the best decision you can ever make. But you got to respond. And I'm going to ask you if you do something very bold, and that is to lift up your hand in this place if you need to receive Christ. Go ahead, lift it up. Say, I'm here today, and I'm ready to receive Christ today. Will you pray for me, Pastor Brady? Come on, lift that hand up today if you're here today. Husband, man, wife, whatever, just lift that hand to Jesus today if you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Amen, 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 amen. Anyone else? I want to pray. I want to fully surrender to him today. Before I move on and pray for favor today, this is important. You need to make that first step. I pray that you do it. If you're thinking about it, it's because the Holy Spirit's drawing you. What's that feeling that I'm just, that's the Holy Spirit. It's when he draws you. The Bible says no man can come to God on his own. He has to be drawn by the Spirit. And that's what happens in these altar calls. That's what that tugging is that says you need to do that. I'm going to close this up and move on. Anyone else want to say, pray for me today? I'm going to pray. Pray. Just lift your hand up. Pray for me today. Pray for me today. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Awesome. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come up. And we have altar team, and we're going to pray for you. And you can receive Christ today. So altar team, be ready to pray for some folks today to receive Christ. I think it's great. It's what we do here. Secondly, for everybody in here, man, I know how many wants that favor? How many wants to grow in that favor in your life today? Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over this church right now. People in person, people online, thank you for your favor that you've given us. And God, we want to grow in that favor. For some of us, we need to be like Ruth and get past our feelings and realize that we are still favored even though we don't feel favored. We need to step out in faith. Some of us need to just keep living for you in the unseen places. And others of us, Lord, need to pick up the favor that you've given us and not stop, but keep going and following you, God, because you're leading us to something greater than what we can experience. And I pray that over your people today, in the name of Jesus. Just pray right now to your God in your seat right now. Just whatever part of this message that means something to you, won't you just talk to God right now? Lord, I need that favor. Help me, whatever. Respond right now, right there in your seat. Right there at home, if you're watching online. Pray for me today, Pastor Reddy, but I'm going to reach out to God. Lord, I want that favor in my life. I want to grow in that favor. I'm going to start this week to seek that favor. Walk on by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Ain't God good? You give him praise. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.